The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Ready, Set, Spill. I'm Lindsay Carter, the founder and CEO of Set Active, a new mother and the host of Ready, Set, Spill. I always start my podcast with an icebreaker. So obviously, as a Olympian in the gymnastics world, what is your most prized leotard? Like, your good luck leotard, can't live without, still have it in your closet?
Oh my God, that's such a great question. I think I'd have to say the like classic hot pink leotard that I wore, matching pink scrunchie. It was a set that I wore at the Olympics when I won the gold medal. It just kind of became, pink wasn't even my favorite color then, but it kind of like became such a huge part of my brand. Then I like was almost like forced to love pink. And then it's just, I do love pink, but yeah, I would say that one.
Oh my God. I always ask this question because ever since I like became obsessed with Grey's Anatomy when I was little, like everyone had their lucky like surgery cap. And then I realized that that was like a thing in real life when I would like talk to doctors and stuff. I was just so intrigued by it. I have good luck sweatpants that like if anyone took them from my closet, we would have.
Wait, so what are they? Are they a certain like color or style or?
So it's not, they're not even like anything special. They're black sweatpants. They just like fit perfectly. I swear they were like made for me. The company doesn't even exist anymore. Yeah. So even if I wanted to get another pair, it like, that's just not happening.
Yeah. So you're like, anybody that ever borrows anything, do not touch those.
Like, don't touch it. My housekeepers know to like be very careful with them. Like it's a whole thing. I think I would shed tears if I lost those sweatpants.
I feel you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, enough about my sweatpants that I could probably talk about for this whole podcast. I want everyone on Ready, Set, Spill to know who you are and your background, what you're doing today. I was just on Instagram Live and I said that you were coming on the podcast and they're like, oh my God, I love her. Oh. They were freaking out. So I'm excited. I want to start my first question with, of all the sports out there, why did you choose gymnastics?
I feel like this is like, so, I don't know if it's stupid, but it's like, I feel like I didn't choose it. It kind of chose me just because both my parents were actually gymnasts. So my dad competed at the Olympics in 88, won 2 gold and 2 silver medals. My mom was a rhythmic gymnast and world champion. So as the only child, I feel like I was born with like, you know, some talented gymnastics genes, if you will. And when we moved to the United States, I was about 2.5 years old and my dad was still training and competing. And their dream was just to always coach their own athletes to becoming world Olympic champion gymnasts. They never, ever imagine it would be like their own daughter. They actually like truly tried. And I feel like some people don't believe me, but they really did try to get me to do so many other things because they knew how hard it was. And being the only child, you know, they just wanted me to be happy and they wanted me to find something I was passionate about, not something that they were passionate about. And like my mom like took me to piano lessons and I would just cry like every single time I had to go because I just wanted to be back in the gym. And so, you know, when they saw how much I loved it and how it brought me happiness, they were like, okay, you know, we're not going to take that away from her. And also seeing some, you know, somewhat of a God-given talent at a very young age, they also said, you know, we also can't take that away. So I think it was just something that I truly love from day one. And I just wanted to grow up to like be like my parents. You know, I thought it was the coolest thing that I didn't even know like what the Olympics was. I had no idea how accomplished they were as athletes. I just like wanted to be like my mom and dad. And when they started, you know, opening up their own gym here in Dallas, they didn't have any money for, you know, a babysitter or anything. They were literally building with their own hands. And so I just spent all my time in the gym and I just thought it was like the biggest playground. Like I thought I was so cool. Like I got to be at the gym, jump on the trampoline like 24/7. And I just like truly fell in love with the sport. And, you know, of course, as you get older and more accomplished, it, it was always fun, but, you know, of course it became like a little bit more like stressful and like pressure filled towards the end.
Yeah. I was going to say like, I played sports my whole life. I did not go the gymnastics route. I think I remember specifically being at La Cienega Park in Beverly Hills and taking my first gymnastics class. And I was like, I don't think my body bends this way. And like, And I was so upset because like, I always idolized girls who could, you know, do gymnastics. Also, Stick It is like my favorite movie in the whole world. It's the best. I could watch it on repeat, but still like I ended up going the soccer route and I played soccer my whole life. And, you know, that's a team sport and gymnastics is team too, but there's 11 people on the field at one time for soccer. And I remember being like, my chances of like making varsity or, you know, playing club or like were so high because you have to choose at least, I think it's 21 players like total to be on a roster. And with gymnastics, I feel like there's gyms all over the country. There's girls all over the country, you know, competing in these different competitions in college and this and that. Like, how do you set yourself apart and shine your talent to the people who are like recruiting you or scouting you or, you know, the whole nine yards, because there's so many girls on the mat?
No, it's so true. And like you said it exactly right, because yes, there is that team kind of element and aspect to gymnastics, but at the end of the day, like, it's such an individual sport. Like, it is like at the Olympics, it is you and a balance beam, a 4-inch wide balance beam, and like nobody else except for millions of people watching. And it's so as physically demanding as the sport, or truly, you know, any sport is, it's almost even more mentally demanding and challenging, because it's, as you said, like everybody's talented, or not everybody, but there's like thousands and thousands of young girls that are talented, that are, you know, hard workers. They have every single thing that, you know, quote unquote, it takes to become the greatest ever. And it, you know, it's a little bit of, you know, talent, hard work, dedication, but there is a little bit of luck, you know. And yes, it's not like you get lucky and you know, win the Olympics, or you get lucky and you build and create one of the most successful athleisure brands ever. Like, it really is a lot about, you know, the process and the hard work that you put into it, and the team behind you and around you and all of that. But, you know, I think I was so fortunate that I knew, you know, my dad was my coach. And so I, like, for some reason I thought like, well, if he did it, you know, then I can do it. And he knows me more than anybody could ever get to know me, both as, you know, an athlete and just a human. And so I just kind of, you know, had faith in his like plan and entrusted the process. And like, yeah, it wasn't easy. But I think like going through that process and every single day kind of, you know, just step by step, not thinking about that end goal like all the time, but like kind of knowing that it's there, but having like those shorter daily, weekly, monthly goals in order to really feel like you're actually like achieving something, you know, on a shorter term basis, versus like, oh my gosh, the Olympics is in 8 years. Like, I'm not going to feel accomplished for 8 years. Like, you have to have other, you know, like milestones throughout those 8 years in order for you to like keep yourself going. And so I think that was something that they taught me that was important. And then of course, like those bad days, like we're all gonna have them. And you know, even like yesterday morning, I woke up and I was like, I just don't want to get out of bed. Like, I'm exhausted. I haven't slept in days before, I felt like. And I kind of went back to what something my mom always told me was, ever since I was a little girl, like, there were days I came home and I just wanted to quit. I wanted to just like, this is too hard. I want to be normal. I want to go to public school and have friends. And she was like, you know, that's fine. You can quit, but not today. And you have to go back to the gym until you have one good day, and then you can quit. And every time I did that, like sometimes it would be the next day I had a good day. Sometimes it was a few weeks later, but she would say, okay, great. Now you can quit. We'll enroll you back into public school and find something else you want to do. And I would say, I don't know what you're talking about. I never said I wanted to quit, because it was always on a bad day or a tough time, like it with anything in life, that we just want to just throw our hands up and say like, this is it. Like, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. But I think what that taught me was, you know, the obvious of we can never quit or give up on a bad day. So that's kind of what I reminded myself through, you know, the moments of being on a competition floor with hundreds of girls around me thinking like, how am I going to make it when, you know, she's clearly much stronger than me. She can jump higher than me. She can run faster than me. It's about, you know, not comparing yourself to others, but trying to be the best version of yourself that you can be.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I feel like that's a message that kind of goes with everything in life in a way, because, you know, yes, starting a business that is a multi-million dollar business now and some of the biggest celebrities are in Set Active. It was definitely,
it wasn't that, you know, like years ago, right?
Yeah. Like, well, also, everyone said to me, like, when I wanted to start, they were like, good luck. Like, there's Lululemon. It already exists. And I was okay, like, to block out the noise, to do it at the right time, to like really believe in yourself, to like push through the hard days. Like, I think that's just a message that everyone has to take through almost everything that they do in their life. And someone on my live was like, how do you push past the hard days, or like, how do you not give up? And it's just, I always tell myself, if it were easy, everyone would do it. You know, like I obviously never became a professional athlete, but I also knew like the dedication, the time, the two-a-days, the hours I was going to have to put in to become a professional soccer player was just like, it to me, I was like, it's too hard. I don't want to do it. But I made that decision for myself. Whereas like starting a business, I was like, yes, it's hard, but I'm determined to do it and I want to do it. And I think that you have to like ask yourself those types of questions in anything that you do.
100%. And I think also something that like I admire, you know, from afar, but watching you, all the things you said, but then also, you know, you're still doing it all, like, you know, like you're the other side of your life and being able to be a mom and like, you know, have a life outside of your incredible business. And I think there are so many people that look, you know, at it and say like, you can only either like be successful in like in a business or have, you know, the family life and whatever. And I have watched my parents be able to successfully do both. And so I've always viewed that. So just like a little shout out to you, because it's like, it's people like you that like inspire, you know, me to know that it's like something that a mentor of mine told me a while ago was like, not to like define yourself by one thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, like I did gymnastics, but I'm not like the gymnast, you know? And it's like the same for you. Like, you're not like, yes, you're an amazing mom, but you're not just, you know, a mom. Like, you're also like so many incredible other things. And I think like, that's really inspiring for, you know, at least for me, but I know like for the girls in my office too, like we talk about that all the time. And I'm like, you have to have complete balance, I think is like a little impossible, but I think it's like having like as good of a balance, or trying to at least have a balance, is like so important. And so, yeah, I think it's like pushing past, you know, all the people that say like, you can't do it all, or you can't have it all. And it's like, yeah, you just have to like kind of put those people, put those people aside.
You can do it all. I mean, it's definitely, again, not easy, but that doesn't mean that the good parts don't make it worth it, because the good parts and the good days and the good moments with, whether it's at work or with, you know, with Ace, they definitely do make it worth it. This year, not going to lie, has been probably the hardest year since starting Set Active, for sure. I mean, I never thought that like you could get like into a work depression, but I definitely got into a work depression, not as in like, I'm depressed and I don't want to work. It was just like, it was craziness. And I just finally woke up and like, we started repivoting things and restructuring things. And all of these creative ideas started coming back to me. And it just taught me that like, yes, things aren't always going to be balance and rainbows and butterflies and good days and sales and happy smiles from your son and days where you're not fighting with your husband. Those things definitely happen. But I always tell myself, and I always like give that advice to my friends or anyone that I'm talking to, especially on a bad day, that like, if we didn't have these times where we're going through the hard times, we wouldn't know what the good feels like. We wouldn't know what that feeling feels like. So, you know, if you have a tough day at like training, but then you're standing on the gold medal podium, it's worth it. You know?
Yeah, that's literally like when people ask, like, what were you thinking when like that gold, like I remember specifically, and it's been like so many years, but like, as he put on the gold, like the gold medal around my neck, I started crying because that's what I was thinking about. You know, I was like, it was very surreal knowing that there was like a gold medal around my neck. So what I was thinking was like all those like really, really tough times that I pushed myself through, you know, to not want to get out of bed. And I was so sore. I felt like I couldn't even like walk up one, you know, step of like going upstairs to go to sleep, but I got out of bed and I still, you know, went and ran 3 miles before training, and just all those times that you wanted to give up and you didn't, and you pushed yourself through, like it's 100% worth it in the end. And it's not even about just that end like goal, right? Like even if like just being able to know that you're stronger than you were on that bad day yesterday, if you pushed yourself through, you know, you're going to appreciate the good days, like you mentioned. And so I think that's something that's like really important, at least for me, to continue telling myself. And like, yes, like, you know, training 7 hours a day, 6 days a week, I don't do that anymore. So I'm like, okay, if I did that when I was really tired and sore, like I can do this and come sit at my office and do what I need to do, or, you know, travel here for work or whatever. But yeah, it's certainly like the way you think about things, right? Like you could feel sorry for yourself on those bad days. And like, that's easy to do, obviously, but it's like, okay, I know that if I push myself through this bad day, like A, I'm going to be stronger and better, but I'm also going to appreciate like the good so much more.
So knowing all of, you know, everything that we're talking about now, what is some advice that you would give to your younger self?
I feel like, well, I'm not a very patient person, like never have been, probably, like I'm working on it, but I'm just not sure that's something that's ever going to be like a strong suit of mine. But I think I always like wanted, like, for instance, like when I was 9 years old, I wanted to be 10 to be double digits. And then I wanted to be 13 to be a teenager. And then it was like 16, 18, 21, 20, whatever. And I think it was just like, I wanted to always rush through things for no reason than like, okay, I did that, I want to do the next. And so just kind of like being more present and appreciating and like kind of celebrating, you know, the moments. And I feel like a lot of us don't do that because it's like, we're surrounded and we live in this world of social, of, you know, so many other things where you almost like still don't feel like good enough or accomplished enough when you see everybody else doing all these other things. And it's like, so not comparing yourself and not competing against, you know, anybody. And because I had to, I guess, quote unquote, compete against my friends and teammates my entire life, like that is the last thing I want to do now. Like the difference between going to a Soul Cycle and a Flywheel class, like I don't want to go to Flywheel because I don't want to see like the leaderboard. I don't want to see my name on that anymore. Like I truly just want to like enjoy, you know, being like active and working out and doing something for myself. So I think just like truly being present and not trying to like rush through, you know, that next milestone, whether that's like a big milestone or just like, you know, getting the last box unpacked in my house or, you know, whatever that is, but just like being able to be more present on a day to day.
I think that's advice that I absolutely need to follow myself because I'm always thinking of like the next thing, or I was the same way. Like I started laughing when you said that you couldn't wait to turn double digits because yeah. I also couldn't wait to turn double digits.
So cool.
I was so excited, but I think also like,
but that's also what makes you successful, you know, and it makes us like not just like fully celebrating. Sorry to interrupt, but it's just like you have to like keep wanting to achieve more. So it's like that's where I struggle because it's like, well, how much do you celebrate? You know, I'm like, where's the manual?
I mean, you know, like, something that I was saying to Allie, our VP of operations, the other day, I said to her, I was like, I don't know what sets, you know, ultimate ultimate plan is. Like, I don't know if I'm going to remain always the CEO set active and grow it to be, you know, a Lululemon, or if I'm going to sell the company or whatever it might be. I don't know. But I always say to her, I'm like, well, if I don't have set active, what are we going to start next? And she's like, why are you thinking about what you're starting next? And I was like, because my brain is always working that way. And like, I never have the chance to just like stop and be present where I am. And I was talking to our HR manager yesterday because something that, you know, and sorry if the team is listening to this, but something that I know is a not reoccurring, I wouldn't call it a problem within the HQ. And I don't know if this is something that you deal with, but a lot of the girls and boys, men out there really want validation and appreciation from me. And I don't know what everyone's working on. We have 30 employees now. Like it is hard for me to like stop and be like, okay, I have to show appreciation for this person. I have to show appreciation for this person. I try to do it as much as possible, like when I remember to, but our HR manager, she like said it perfectly. She's like, your wheels as the CEO are always turning. You are so 20 steps ahead of even being present in that day of thinking of like what needs to happen next or strategy or this or your son or your family or your friends, that to stop and like think to remember to appreciate someone doesn't mean that you don't appreciate them, but to stop and remember to say it, they have to rely on their managers and their leaders and look to them for their appreciation and not so much the CEO. And it's this whole struggle that I'm like trying to figure out. Everyone's like, what's been the hardest part about business? And you would think it's like the external stuff and the marketing and the product, but it's the internal stuff. And it's like really, really difficult to manage.
I feel the same way. And it's like, I have a much, much smaller team, but it's like, even trying to like really be aware, you know, of like all of that. But then it's like, I feel like, yeah, it is that, like, if you're aware of all of that, then like, you feel like you're taking away time from, you know, you and what you need to do in order to be that good leader. So it's like this again, like,
yeah,
there's no like 50-50 balance, you know. It's like, and I think what I was saying earlier, like my mentor told me, was if you see kind of like one side start tipping one way, that just means like, you know, put a little bit more time, energy, not like completely flip it, but yeah, just like little baby steps. But yeah, I mean, I'm the same way. I'm a perfectionist, and I also like am a people pleaser and like all those things. But then it's like, you can tell if someone's upset, but you're like, I don't know how to fix it, because you're also trying to like, yeah, navigate all the things. But it's growing, right? And it's like the fact that you don't necessarily have time to maybe compliment every single one of your employees. Bigger picture, looking back, that's incredible, because one day a while ago, you did have time because there was only maybe one or two employees, you know? So it's like, it's really, when you take a step back and look at it, that is like such, like, you have to also like, you know, be proud of yourself for growing all of that and having like the, not power, because I feel like sometimes power is like not necessarily taken the right way, but the power to, you know, somebody wants your validation, you know? So it's totally, like, it's like a good and a bad. I totally like get it without like, you know, fully experiencing it. But yeah, it's all like part of being successful, like as you are. So yeah.
And there's a lot. I wish I could write a book on all the things that I like expected in business, and then all the things that ended up happening, because it is like going to be hundreds of pages long, let me tell you.
Write a book one day, and you know, it's your free time, you know, that you have a lot of.
I wish I had free time. I was just saying to my husband yesterday, I was like, wouldn't it be nice to just like not have a day, or have a day where you don't have to do literally anything, like no responsibilities. So he's laughed. No, he was no, like,
another to-do list.
Yeah. Okay. So switching gears, going back to being, you know, an Olympian that got gold, can you walk us through, and I know you probably talk about this all the time, but like for someone, I'm such a nerd. Like I love documentaries. I love the Olympics. I love anything that's a true story. I love like hearing what people's routines are like, because I do think that it's a basis that sets you up in the future and all of that stuff. But I mean, here I am interviewing an Olympic gold medalist, where I was on varsity soccer, and I would always say, oh, we have to do 2 days. I have to wake up at like 5 a.m. And now I'm like, okay, that's nothing compared to anything that you guys you know, had to go through. So what was a day of training for the Olympics, which is so crazy to say?
I mean, not much different. Like, we had 2 days. We basically, I forget exactly the age, but fifth grade was, how old are you in fifth grade? I don't know, like nine?
Maybe? Like 10, 10, nine, 11. 10. Yeah.
Double digits, basically, is when I started training twice a day. So we would train from 8 to 12 in the morning, and then I would go to a private school from 12:30 to 3, and then we would train again from 3:30 to 6:30. And then after training, obviously, you know, go home, quickly eat dinner, do homework, you know, anything else that I had to do, chores like around the house, and then go to sleep and do it all over again. And that was Monday through Friday. Saturday, we just had one training. So 8 to 12, and then Sunday was our day off. So, you know, my parents, especially with my dad being my coach, like, they really, really wanted me to have as normal of a childhood as possible, you know, training that many hours. But like, living in Texas, you know, we, you know, we're lucky, like, later on in my childhood, I guess, to have like a pool. And then like, we were able to go out on the boat on the lake and just try to at least have some normalcy. But then it was also just like, you know, what you have to do outside of training, and not just the time that you spend in the gym, but it was physical therapy, doctor's appointments, acupuncture, massage therapy. And, you know, now all of those treatments are just like on a whole different level, like elevated, like, you know, it's crazy, like infrared saunas and like all those things that I'm like, oh, I wish I had this when I was training. But yeah, I think it was just like the dedication and commitment to like making sure you're eating well and having enough energy to, you know, get through a 7-hour training day. And then of course there was, you know, we had a run like before training, like, and I just like hate running. Like, I wish I loved running, but like, I've tried every which way. Like, I just felt like vault was always my least favorite event. Maybe I could never understand why. I'm like, maybe that's why. Maybe it's just because I hate running so much. I'm like, why would somebody run 80 feet towards a stationary object and like jump on a springboard and like flip? So yeah, I always just struggled with like kind of like the power and strength and like the running aspect to it, where I could literally just be, you know, on bars or beam or the other events basically for hours. But that was basically my life from, I guess, age 9 or 10 until about 23. So
that is crazy. I had a friend growing up who was like a competitive gymnast, and her friend was also a competitive gymnast. And I remember like really just never understanding like why she had to be in the gym all the time. Obviously, I understand it now.
Like, yeah.
I also couldn't like believe all the injuries that came out of like gymnastics. Like, this girl, she was like set to become like on the Olympic team, but she got a back injury, and that was it. Her career was like, not her. I mean, now she like still is involved in gymnastics, but she was like, that there it goes. Like, I can't go to the Olympics.
Well, and that's what I was, and again, not to take away from any other sport, but it's, gymnastics is a tough sport, especially as a female, because it's once in every 4 years. And so you can't just try again next year, you know, to like make the Olympic team. And then even then, if you are healthy and you're at Olympic trials or, you know, something, like, your body changes like so quickly. Like, that's why it's like, you can't really take more than like a weekend off, or 4 years later, if like you didn't make it like that year, like a lot changes in 4 years, you know, for all of us and for every sport, but especially in gymnastics. And it's really, really hard to keep up that level of gymnastics too. You know, the constant like pounding on your body. And especially for me, I was never like, I was really tall. I was 5'2" at the Olympics. And I had like a complete different body type than the quote unquote normal gymnast at the time. Yes. And I didn't have the strength, the power, you know, that the physical, like the muscles and all of that, but I had to use what I had to my best capability. But it is like such a tough like sport on your body. It affects like your back, especially, right? Like, you think like, oh, well, maybe you can just like keep training like one event, but you can't. Like, it literally does, like, it takes you out. Like, I had 2 back injuries, and nothing like really happened. It was overuse. It was like a stress fracture, but it was like, you know, going through that every day and being so frustrated, and you're like, am I going to recover from this? I'm now wasting, not wasting because you're healing, but like 3 months where, you know, all your teammates and competitors are getting better and stronger. And again, it's just that mental aspect of like, how am I going to get past this?
I literally can't imagine. What has been the most like meaningful or impactful outcome of your gymnastics career?
You know, I think honestly, it's the moments, first of all, the people that I've been able to meet and just like, you know, it's become family, my Olympic teammates, like it's something that I will never, it's hard to make friends just in life. And then, you know, having 5 other teammates that we live in all different states and cities, we're in all different like areas and kind of moments of our lives right now, but it's, we know that like in our one group chat, like if any one of us called each other or texted each other, even like right now and said, like, I need help, I'd be like, Lindsay, I'm so sorry. Like, I have to like wrap this up. Like, it's that kind of relationship and bond that like competing at the Olympics together like brought. So I would say that. And then the other thing that I actually feel like really became the defining moment of my career was when I try to make my second Olympic team 4 years after I won. And so this was now 2012. And coming in to that Olympic trials that year as, you know, now like expected to be the best, expected to make the team, expected to win again on my very best event, which was bars, I fell face first, like flat on my stomach face. And I remember in that moment, laying flat on my face, thinking, you know, first of all, why am I down here? I'm supposed to be finishing my routine. And it happened so quickly that I literally like didn't really have time to think, but then I had, it also was like in slow motion. And I remember thinking, okay, now I'm not making this Olympic team. My chances of, you know, achieving that dream and goal is completely over. Then thinking, oh my God, like there's 20,000 people in this arena, millions watching back at home. I am so embarrassed, so mortified. I just want to crawl underneath the podium. And then my dad, who, you know, was obviously standing there, he was like, just dad instinct came in. He was not my coach anymore. And he was like, you can be done. Like, I just want you to be safe. We can. And I was like, no, you know what? You always told me, no matter what you do, you always have to finish what you've started. So I knew I had 30 seconds to get back on the bar and finish that routine, knowing that it didn't matter anymore. You know, I was not going to make that Olympic team. That was going to be the last competition of my entire career. And I got back up. I finished my routine. I landed on my feet on my dismount. And for the very first time in my life and career, I had a standing ovation for the worst routine of my entire life and career. And I remember looking around the arena, seeing like who else just went on a different event and had the best routine of their life. And they're well on to making that Olympic team and nobody was going. I was the last one in that rotation. And I was very confused in the moment, thinking my whole life, and not because someone taught me this, but I just decided this on my own. My whole life, I always thought that, you know, I would only be loved if I was the best. I would only be supported, or, you know, people were only going to like me or cheer me on if I won first place or stuck my dismount or whatever. And I thought, you know, why are people even clapping for me, let alone on their feet? I literally fell on my face. And I think that became the defining moment, because when I won the Olympic all-around gold medal, nobody was standing on their feet. People were clapping and cheering and, you know, they were telling me good job. And I was like on top of the world. But the moment that I had 4 years later, when I literally fell on my face, got back up, finished my routine, and 20,000 people stood on their feet, that moment taught me so much more about life. Because we will never be defined by an accomplishment like that, a gold medal, a placement, you know, a job title, a salary, a company. Like, that doesn't define who we are as humans. And for some reason, my whole life, I always thought that. And so I think it was a moment that I just thought, oh, okay, like this is what kind of life is about. It was about that journey. It was about finding something that you love to do. It was about getting through those tough days that we've talked about and pushing yourself, but also knowing that you're doing something because you love it and you have a passion for it. And yes, you have like that competitive spirit and energy and all those things, and you want to accomplish your goals, but it's not necessarily about the outcome. Because sometimes we don't, like you said, we don't even know what we want that outcome to be. So it's about truly trying to enjoy that process as much as possible.
That is like when you, I had like chills when you were telling that story. And then my second thought was like, maybe she needs to be a motivational speaker, because I'm like sitting here and I'm like, holy shit.
Like, you're like, okay, team, let's go.
I'm like ready to go out there and be like, we need a team meeting right now. That is
yeah,
crazy.
I think it's like, it was like, again, like, you know, you have to have that, like, yes, it like, it helps. And I feel like sometimes people are like, yeah, well, it's easy for you to say when like, you also like can go pull your gold medal out of the safe. And I'm like, but it's not about that. You know, it's like that moment helped me compare, you know, the moment that I had when I fell on my face. Like if I just had that and I didn't have that, like I wouldn't have been able to like fully understand, you know, the whole full circle.
So knowing that that was like, kind of, you're like, that was it. You're not going to the Olympics again. How did you go about figuring out like what your next move is to like basically where you are now? Like, I feel like so much of your identity was gymnastics, and it's something that I feel like I talk to a lot of people, whether they're famous or, you know, one of my, she's like a little sister to me, but Maddie Ziegler, who is known on Dance Moms, like Cry and Crash, like, I don't know who I'm going to be outside of Dance Moms. Like I have to figure this out. So how did you go about figuring out what your next move is?
Yeah. I love Maddie, by the way, but I think like for me, it was so hard because just probably similar to Maddie, like you are defined as the, you know, the dancer, the gymnast, right? Like, and I think when I was able to finally like realize and like not just like tell myself this but believe it, like I'm not like the gymnast, I did gymnastics, right? Like it doesn't need to be my only like definition, because I don't think that we are defined by anything that we do. Even like you not being like, you're not defined by set, right? Like yes, you founded it and like you have like created an insanely incredible successful business, but like that doesn't define who you are as a human. And I think that's when I started realizing like, okay, I have no idea what I want to do. Yes, like I want, like I still love the sport. And so I think when I was able to kind of shift the mentality of, I did gymnastics and I also was like not trying to like completely push it out of my life, but know that like it will forever be a part of my life in some capacity. And that's fine because I do love it, but I am much more than just gymnastics. And I think what helped me the most was after the Olympic trials, then I did go to the Olympics to start working with NBC. And that was like, you know, when one door closes, another one opens. And so it's like, that was obviously an incredible experience that, you know, has continued. I leave next week for our national championships again. And it's not part of my day-to-day life, but I do enjoy being able to have it be like part of my life in some capacity. That being said, right after those Olympics in London, I moved to New York, knew nobody, and I started school at NYU. And I think those 4 years for me were just like the most crucial 4 years of my life, because, you know, I'd waited 6 years, like after I graduated high school to go to college. And it was so important. I remember like my dad telling me when I was like, probably, you know, like 9, 10 years old around that age, no matter what you do, like, please promise me you're going to go to college one day. And at the time he was like, you know, you never know how far your gymnastics career will take you and education will stick with you forever. And like, we like, who knows, you know, in that moment. And I'm glad I did for multiple reasons. And, you know, I think everybody has their own path. Obviously for me, it was important because I got to kind of figure out and navigate like, who am I as a person? What are my passions? What are my interests? Like, I think like being in New York where nobody cares about anything or who you are, like that was like so great for me in that moment. You know, I got to make real friends and not go to the gym and work out if I wanted to. And yeah, I think like that was just an important time in my life of trying to figure that out. And, you know, there are still days where like, I enjoy doing what I do, but there are still days where I don't feel, you know, as accomplished at the end of the day, because I still have these flashback moments to like being so tired after training 7 hours a day, not being able to walk up the stairs. And now I'm like, wait, but I'm not physically that exhausted today. So does that mean I didn't work hard enough? You know, it's all those things that you relate it to, but those moments don't happen as often these days. But yeah, it's tough. Like, but I say this with everything in life, transitions, like transitions are tough. You know, it's from, you know, being single to being in a relationship, to married, to a mom, to, you know, one employee to 30 employees. I mean, every single transition is just as hard as the previous, or just as hard as somebody else's, you know, different transitions. So, you know, I think constantly just being aware of how you're feeling and like kind of checking in with yourself, which I'm not great at doing all the time. I think, you know, I'm trying to think of others and your business and all those things, but just, yeah, I think just taking a moment every once in a while and just like checking in with yourself.
Yeah, no, I say that all the time to like everyone I talk to. I also say like, talk about how you're feeling with your friends or your family. Or I was, you know, saying on my Instagram live like an hour ago, but I, you know, with a group of friends, like I just felt vibes were off, if that's the best way to say it in millennial terms. Like I was like, did I do something? Are they mad at me? Like we're not being as chatty as normal. And I was like, you know what, you guys, you're giving me anxiety. Is everything good? Or like, is something up? And they were like, oh my God, what? Not in a like, what? Yeah. They were like,
thank you. Now you can like go about your normal day.
Yes. Yeah. And I felt like 1,000 times better after. They're like, you're like in the nicest way possible. They're like, no, like I love you more than anything in this universe. Yeah. I'm just like, the day got ahead of me. And I was like, okay, cool. Yeah. Love.
I think you're so right. Like, I think we're so used to like, A, like constantly being available, or like, that's how everyone is. Right. And it's like, I mean, I'm the same way. Like there are moments where I'm just like, oh my God, like I didn't respond to like, you know, this person, whatever. And then it's like the opposite where I'm like, oh, they didn't respond. They must be mad at me. Like, what did I do? And you're like replaying every single moment, every single time.
It's exhausting.
It's so exhausting. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to pick up the phone and like call them and just like, see what's going on. But I also think just like checking in, like literally with yourself too, and like, what can I do to be like, feel better? Like, okay, you're exhausted. Like take a second and you know, not even saying take an hour, because we don't even always have that much time, but just taking a second to like, take a deep breath and like, it's going to be okay. Like, you know, you've been through more difficult days, you've been through tougher days, and you know, whatever that end goal is, like, this is part of it.
Yeah. I am so bad at like listening to myself or checking in with myself, but recently, and everyone in the room who's sitting in here is going to laugh, I'm obviously pregnant with baby number two. I have a 16-month-old at home. Work is wild. Like every day is wild. And like, I, in the last couple of months have not canceled, but I don't make any week plans anymore. Like I used to go to a dinner every single night. I'm telling you, like, no joke, every night there was a dinner on my calendar, whether it was a networking dinner or catching up with friends or date night or whatever it was. I was never home, even with, you know, a newborn. And recently, the last couple of months, I don't do that anymore. So now I have a chiropractor come to my office. He also comes to my house. I have a massage every Tuesday. I also have a massage every Sunday. And I was like, this is what's bringing me happiness right now, to like sit and like work on me and like listen to a podcast, watch TV, or like do something mindless when the baby's sleeping. Like that is what's working for me. And I was talking to Allie about it, and she was like, you do you, sister. Like you have the financials to, you know, have all these services come to your house. Right. I'm like, it's not even about the financials. Like I would just rather spend my money right now on things that are making me happy in this current moment than $300 dinners with, you know, networking and this and that.
I am with you 100%. And then I like literally asked, so I also have an Allie on my team, and I literally asked Allie, I was like, am I getting old? Or like, I'm like, what does this mean?
Oh my God.
Whatever just like keep going, you know?
I know. I know. So what's next? What's next in the pipeline? Like, what's something that you're working on that you're really excited about first? And before you answer that, I do have to say, like, I love that gymnastics is still a part of your world, you know, in terms of NBC and like you speaking, especially when the Olympics come on. I remember when you first announced that like you were going to be a, like narrating or what's the word reporting report. Is it?
Commentating.
Yeah. Commentating on the Olympics at for gymnastics specifically. Yeah. And like, I was never that person. And I still kind of am not who like listen to the after shows or listen to the commentators because all I care about is the action. But when you were like, I'm coming on, like to have someone who did it, who experienced it and now is commenting on it validates all of like what you're saying 10 times more. So yeah. I was like, I'm going to watch because what she's saying is probably the real deal. And I think that's so cool that that gets to still be a part of your life.
Thank you. Yeah, I enjoy doing it. And to kind of like to add on to that, I think for me, you know, I remember going back and watching, you know, some of the shows and I always watch back like footage and videos, like just from like a training. I'm like such a visual person. So for me to like learn from mistakes or technical errors, whatever. And so then I started thinking like when I started kind of in that role was, you know, I wanted to kind of help our viewers understand like, yes, when someone falls off the beam at the Olympics, it's not good. We all know that. Like the goal is to stay on the beam. There's no need to like say, oh my God, her dreams are over. You know, it's so trying to explain like, why did that happen? Was it a technical error? Was it nerves? Was it, you know, trying to put them like inside our heads of like when we're competing, you know, it's like, this is the moment, you know, where I remember they're marching into the arena for the Olympic all around finals. This is like, not to make it like necessarily about me, but trying to like, we don't know what they're thinking then. Right. So it's like, well, you know, X amount of years ago, like, this is what I had in my mind. You know, it's like, they're probably thinking about all the years of hard work or some, I guess, like trying to relate it to my experiences. And then also just, you know, I think knowing what it feels like, you know, and 4 inches wide, like we always like say, like, you know, put like your cell phone down on the living room floor. Like that's basically the balance beam. So I think there's a way to commentate and there's a way to analyze and critique. And this is for everything in life. But in my mind, there's a way to do all of that in a positive light. You know, it's like, you don't have to just like put someone down and be so negative. You can explain it. And like, yes, like me falling on my face at Olympic trials, it's like, that was not fun in the moment. A mild concussion, like embarrassment, like all those things. And, you know, years later, it has become the defining moment of my career. And I'm obviously totally fine talking about it, but in that moment, it can really like alter, you know, the rest of your life or your career or your future if someone were to watch it back. So I kind of just like always remember, like, no matter how strong you are inside, outside, words can be hurtful, you know, and it's the same on social media. And it's like something that we deal with every single day and easier said than done, but like try not to, you know, necessarily let people's words, you know, affect you. But I think with commentating, yeah, I think I just tried to help people understand like what's going on in their mind and like, you know, trying to understand the technicality behind something without getting like too technical. And that's what like the struggle I think is like, okay, I know I was hired for this job because, you know, of my past and my knowledge and all of that, but then it's not trying to get too technical. And, you know, we're always like constantly like, okay, less like terms, less like gymnastic skill names. And I'm just like, oh, like, it's really hard to sometimes like, not dumb it down, but, you know, take it a level down where it's like, you're still explaining what that certain flip is without calling it the actual name. And so it's actually like a little bit harder than it seems when like you're watching or listening at times, because I have to remember my producer, Billy, is amazing. And he's all like my first few competitions, he put like a sticky note with I think it was like Madeline. And I'm like, who's Madeline? Like, and like, you know, talk back right before we started. And he was like, exactly, you're talking to Madeline. And I'm like, but who is she? And he was like, you don't know her. She doesn't really know you. She's tuning in for the first time. Speak to Madeline. And I was like, okay. I was like, that made it like really like I like have remembered that for like 9 years now of just like casual fan. Maybe they don't know anything. Maybe they do, but like you're really talking to like such a broad audience that it can make it, you know, challenging, but it's, yeah. That's also what makes it exciting.
Well, it's me. I'm Madeline.
Yes, I'm literally just gonna put Lindsay on. I'm gonna send you a photo and I'm gonna tag you this week.
Just put like a cutout and like tape it to the other side of your table next time you're commentating and just be like, pretend I'm talking to Lindsay, who knows nothing about gymnastics, and I have to explain all of it to her. So I know I asked like a two-part question, but what is next for you? Like, what is something you're excited about that you're working on other than, you know, doing like, your thing?
It's something I've been working on for a long time. And it's like, you know, again, one of those things where I've been wanting to do it for a while, but my biggest, I guess, goal has always really to try to inspire the next generation. You know, I think the next generation obviously is our future, and it's not just within gymnastics or sports, but like just everybody. And so, you know, creating company and brand, but basically it's called Muse, or the Muse Collective is the full name, but really just like inspiring the next generation to live their best lives and be the best version of themselves. So that doesn't necessarily mean trying to inspire them to, you know, be the next gold medalist or, you know, any of those things, but trying to just like, you know, I think help them achieve their dreams and their goals, and really just like creating this community of people that just like want to help each other and like-minded individuals and bring together mentors and people like you that, you know, you're doing it all, but, and it looks so like glamorous from the outside looking in, and, you know, it's totally not. And not to say that like, you know, you're not successful in all these things, but it is a lot harder than people think that it is. And so I think just like, yeah, creating like that and starting a podcast has, you know, also been like, I'm like almost there where I just moved houses too. And so I'm like, this is not like, you know, it's like, I'm such a perfectionist that I'm like, hey, the podcast room's like almost done. I don't want to start it until it's done, but it's like, I could, you know, keep waiting for certain things to like be done. But yeah, I think with Muse, it's like something that I just feel like it's more than, you know, me. And it's not about like, for me, it's not about like all the lessons I learned as a gymnast or like the Nasty Lucan podcast. It's more like about others and other people's, you know, stories and other people's like falls that they had that were flat on their face at the Olympic trials, but, you know, they picked themselves up and they kept going. And we've all had a moment like that or multiple moments like that. And I think that not everybody likes to talk about those for which whatever, you know, whatever reason, but I think they're so important. And, you know, being able to, you know, humanize ourselves like in any way is something that I feel like is helpful for others that might maybe going through similar things.
Well, I'm excited for both things, for both Muse and for your podcast. I know it's a little on hold right now, but I think that it's all super important types of conversations that need to be heard, need to be talked about. I always wrap up my podcast with a piece of advice to leave with my listeners. And I know you answered like advice you would give yourself when you were little, but what about right now in this present moment? You just talked about staying present, checking in with yourself. What is one piece of advice that like you just take with you every single day?
I would say it would, you know, be still something that I've used pretty much my whole childhood into my adulthood life, but something my mom taught me, and that was, you know, to never quit or give up on a bad day. Sounds like super simple, but I think it's like, when you actually think about it, it's so true.
Well, advice also doesn't need to be intricate. Like it can be simple, you know, like that's perfect. I always say to just, it's pushing past the hard days that get you to the next day. And as long as you can push past it, tomorrow's a new day and you get to decide how that day is going to go. Well, I feel like there's so much more that I want to ask and so much more I want to learn, but when you start your podcast and you need guests,
I would love to have you on. So we'll have to hopefully make that happen.
Yeah. Well, when you have it up and running, you just let me know. And if you need anything at all or questions or whatever it might be, just ask. If people want to follow what you're doing, if they want to follow your new venture Muse, where can they follow you? Where can they find out information?
So my personal Instagram, Twitter, Facebook is @NastyLucan, and my website and blog is nastylucan.com. And then for Muse, it is The Muse Collective.
The Muse Collective. I'm actually going to write that down myself because I want to look into it.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and working with our schedules obviously is not easy, but I appreciate it.
Oh my God. I'm so happy I finally got you on, and I could have just been like this the whole time and listened to your whole story. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Lindsay. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to follow us on your podcast listening platform. Share your favorite moments with me on social media and tune in next week. Again, I'm your host, Lindsay Carter, and this is Ready, Set, Spill.